Works better with the mic plugged in. And for you, JL and the group, good afternoon.
Hi, Jim. We're starting recording. Stand by one, please. Okay, we're good to go, Mike. KY6B.
Very good. Standing by.
Good evening, and welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to obtain license status. This is the first in the series that will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the technician class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday and Sunday evening. We're now halfway through the classes. For those that are currently licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please contact us on SCARS, S-C-A-R-S, server, at either Echolink node number 96140 or IRLP node 96140. For those who are interested in obtaining your license for the first time, please contact Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet, one word, dot southcars, one word, dot com, to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connected into the course, letting it drop. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in the presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com. Before we start this evening's program, it should be mentioned that the material being covered is based on the new Q&A pool effective July 1, 2014. It should be further mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and should not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. And please, anyone taking the class with us this evening, please refer to the question Q&A pool that's on our website. Do not use any other list because you may be confused. So just use the list that we have on our website. Okay, letting it drop and then do a little more and we'll start the program. Okay, do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? My name is Mike, Mike India Kilo Echo. My call sign is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. I am your opening moderator for this evening. At this point, we will begin. Our two instructors tonight are two outstanding instructors. We have Kathy, K6SUN, down in sunny Florida, and also down in sunny Florida is Gordon, KY6Victor. And as I understand, Kathy will start with the first, I believe, three questions, and then we'll bounce it over to Gordon. Now remember, we'll do a question, we'll give you the answer, there'll be comments about the answer, and then we'll give a little gap. If you have any questions or any comments whatsoever, please just come in and say, question or comment, whatever, and we'll recognize you right off the bat. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Well, we're here to help. We're not just putting one way. We're two-way streets you got going here. So I'm about to turn this over to Kathy. So Kathy, K6SUN, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike, and welcome everyone tonight to our fourth class of the technician class. And when you say sunny Florida for Gordon and I, actually, that's a falsehood. It's been raining the entire day, very heavy rain. Actually, I was out in that rain, and I feel like I was a duck. We had it's a high of 77 right now. We had a high of 88. But very stormy day, still thundering a little bit there in the background, but hopefully it'll be okay. Now, before I go into the question, I want to advise our students, if you haven't, you should have that pie chart printed and in front of you, because a lot of the questions Gordon and I are going to cover this evening have to do with Ohm's Law. So there's a way you can get that printed, and you haven't, we sure hope that you'll have that in front of you. So let me drop it here for just a moment, and I'm going to give you the first in a series of three questions. Gordon and I are doing this differently tonight. I will do three questions, ask for a response from everyone out there, and then we'll turn it over to Gordon. So let me pause for just a moment. Our first question is sub-element T of 5 has to do with electrical principles, math for electronics, electronic principles, Ohm's Law. There are actually four exam questions out of four groups. So I'm going to start with T5 alpha 01, and it reads, electrical current is measured in which of the following units? We have alpha volts, bravo watts, C ohms, and D, which is the correct answer. Delta is the correct answer, and the answer is amperes. You know, this is basics that you should know. Current is measured in amperes, volts in volts, power in watts, and resistance in ohms. We ask that you look at that pie chart shown in the tutorial information on the website. This is an easy way to understand the differences and the calculations required in this exam. So before I go on to the next question, are there any comments from anyone listening? Any questions from our students? So at this point, I ask if you have any questions or comments to please come aboard. All right, hearing nothing, let's go into the next question. And this is Tango 5, Alpha 02. Again, this has to do with that pie chart. Electrical power is measured in which of the following units? Now think of electricity. Alpha is volts, bravo is watts, C is ohms, and D is amperes. And again, we ask that you just look at that pie chart, but think of electrical power. You know, that lamp you have next to you, those light bulbs, you know, what actually there are 25, 40, 60, maybe 75, they're what you consider watts. So bravo, watts is your correct answer. Again, the question reads, electric power is measured in which of the following units, and that is watts. Just think of electricity and that lamp next to you. So with that, any comments, any questions? Okay, hearing nothing, and hopefully these are some easy questions for you, especially if you have that pie chart available. My next question, my last question in this series is Tango 5 Alpha 04, and it reads, what is the name for a current that flows only in one direction? Now think of one direction, maybe as you're walking, as you're driving, and think of that as I give you the answers. Alpha, alternating currents. Bravo is direct current. Charlie is normal current. And delta is smooth current. And the correct answer is actually direct current. Think of driving that car or walking, you're going in a direction. So think of that as you're looking at that question. Alternating current flows between negative and positive in one cycle. Direct current flows in only one direction, therefore remaining in a single state. So with that, that's the end of my three questions and my three explanations. Is there anyone anywhere that has any comments or any questions? And this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for any comments. Okay, Gordon, hearing nothing. That must have been some easy questions for them. And actually, I thought they were really pretty easy. A lot of them common sense. Your next series is going to be Tango 5 Bravo. So Gordon, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, the next three are all yours.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. Good questions. Guys and gals, you know, what she's covered in those first three questions are the rudiment, the baseline. Something you're going to be working with in this hobby for a long, long time. So it's very important to get your arms around it and have a general understanding. Okay, we're going to move into the T5B sector, and that's math for electronics, conversion of electrical units, decibels, the metric system, etc. And the first question is T5 Bravo 02. T5BO2. And it reads, what is another way to specify a radio signal frequency of 1,500,000 hertz? 1,500,000 hertz. The answers that they give you is A, 1,500 kilohertz, B, 1,500 megahertz, C, 15 gigahertz, or D, 150 kilohertz. Now, the proper answer here is A, 1,500 kilohertz. Just move the decimal three places to the left. 1,500 kilohertz is equal to 1,500,000 hertz. And you've got the answer. And you'll find a lot of our terminology in this hobby will be written in kilohertz and megahertz. So it's important for you to know the conversion and how to get from one side to the other, be it a hertz to a megahertz and so on and so forth. Easy to learn. Just work with it a little bit and it'll come right to you. Any questions on that, please, KY6V? Okay, moving right along to T5 Bravo 03. T5B03. It reads, how many volts are equal to 1 kilovolt? How many volts are equal to 1 kilovolt? The answers that they give you are A, 1/1000th of a volt. That's incorrect. B, 100 volts. That's incorrect. C, 1,000 volts, and that is the correct answer. And 1 million volts is D, and that is incorrect. Remember, don't try to memorize these alpha designators because the VECs will change them around. We say this every class. The questions will be a word for word that you're seeing on your question pool right now. The question will be identical, but they will move those alpha designators around, so you don't try to measure it, memorize it by that means. So we are moving the decimal again. We are looking at volts, and it takes 1,000 volts to make 1 kilovolt. And another way to think about this, guys and gals, is that if you're familiar with your billing from your power company for your electricity on the house, they charge you per kilovolt, okay? And depending on the area that you're in, that could be anywhere from 10 to 15 cents per kilovolt, noting that all of the additional taxes and so on and so forth are thrown into that figure. But something you'll become very comfortable with as time goes along. Any questions, please? KY6V. Okay, the last in my threesome here for the moment is Tango 5 Bravo 05, T5BO5, which reads, which of the following is equivalent to 500 milliwatts? Now we're looking for 500 milliwatts. The question, or the answers that they give you, is A, 0.02 watts, that's incorrect. B, 0.5 watts, that is correct. C, 5 watts, incorrect. And D, 50 watts, and that is incorrect. Remember, it takes 1,000 milliwatts to make 1 watt. Therefore, 500 milliwatts would be equal to half of a watt, or 0.5 watts. Think about that question, I think you'll just do fine. Any questions, please? Okay, Kathy, you're up for the next three, KY6V. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Gordon. Yes, my series begins, this section is T5, Charlie, Electronic Principles, Capacitance, Inductance, Current Flow in Circuits, Alternating Current, Definition of RF, DC power calculations, and impedance. Now, before I go into the question, I want to advise our students and anyone listening that there was some desire to put a glossary on our website of different terms, and that was put in there the other day. So that is there for you to look at. I believe it's about 20 pages long. It's through the ARRL site, I believe. But it is there in case you have any questions. Let me pause for just a moment. And I'm going to, my question is Tango 5, Charlie 01. All right, it reads, what is the ability to store energy in an electric field called? Now think of that question. What is the ability to store energy in an electric field called? And as I give you the choices, just look at one of those. It's not the full answer, but it does give you a suggestion. Alpha is inductance, Bravo is resistance, C is tolerance, and D is capacitance. Now, Delta, capacitance is the correct answer. Think of capacity. When you're storing something, energy or whatever, think of capacity and you'll have the correct answer. Capacitors by design have the ability to store an electric field. This is done by the amount of capacitance designed into a capacitor and the design of the breakdown voltage allowed. Normally speaking, a capacitor has at least two plates, sometimes more, where one plate is positive and the other negative. The associated circuitry associated with this capacitor determines the deplete time of this unit. RC units are used often using a fixed value resistor to determine when this capacitor should discharge. So with that, before I move on to the next question, are there any comments or any questions? All right, hearing nothing. Gordon, it sounds like our students and our stations connected have a real good hand on this tonight. Let me go to the next question. It's Tango 5, Charlie 02. It reads, what is the basic unit of capacitance? Once again, very simple question. What is the basic unit of capacitance? Our choices are alpha, the farad, a bravo, the ohm, C, the volt, and delta, the henry. And actually, the correct answer is alpha, the farad. Capacitors are measured in farads, or a fraction of a farad. It is interesting to note here that one farad capacitor would most likely be as large as a normal living room. So think about that. So any questions, any comments, please come aboard. Wow, Gordon, no comments, no questions. It looks like I'm going to have an early evening because I think this is my last question for this evening, and you finish it with the final three. So let me do my final question for this evening. Tango 5, Charlie 03, and it reads, what is the ability to store energy in a magnetic field called? We have alpha, admittance, bravo, capacitance, C, resistance, and D, inductance. Actually, the correct answer is delta, inductance. So what is the ability to store energy in a magnetic field called? The answer is inductance. So inductance varies from capacitance in several ways. First, it stores magnetic energy as opposed to the electrical energy found in a capacitor. Further, its appearance is different. An inductor is normally a series of wound coils of wire, either open air construction or wound around an insulating structure. The amount of turns, the number of turns, and the spacing between the turns dictates the inductance that will be produced. A variable capacitor wired around an inductor can be made to accurately resonate the combination at a given frequency. So with that, I'm going to throw it out there once again. That is my final question for this evening, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll join you sometime down the road. But are there any comments or any questions? Or Gordon, you may have some more you'd like to talk about my three questions. If not, I'm going to turn it to you. So how about any comments or any questions?
CDQ, this is Kay calling K6SUN. Kathy, those are very good explanations. I like those explanations you gave tonight. They're very clear, very understandable. Thank you for that. That's very good. Over.
All right, I'll pick it up here, Mike. Thank you for that comment, sir. Gordon KY6V here for South Cars. You know, guys and gals, that area that Kathy just covered is really one of the major and bottom line building blocks in constructing your own equipment. It's important to be able to define a circuit that is resonant, operable, if I can use a second word there, on a given frequency. And you can do that by a combination of an inductor, a coil type situation, and a capacitor. In the capacitor form, it's normally a variable where you can vary the capacity, and between the inductance and the capacity, you can fine-tune that circuit so that it will only operate efficiently on the frequency that you have designed it for. And so that's how the mop flops, and that's how these pieces of equipment that you buy are manufactured. So very, very important. Let me turn it over to you, Mike. Are we doing okay? We're not getting any counterplay here from the audience this evening. Want to make sure that our sound is doing all right. Over.
Well, Gordon and Kathy, your sound is very clear. You're coming off very well. I guess that Lyman and Stephanie and whoever else is listening in is following along with this. Maybe they did their homework and they jumped ahead of you. But it's very clear, very good, and I will just continue going. If you have any more comments you want to make as you go through, do so. I'm going to comment on some of the downloads from the South Carl's website when we get done. So just keep on going. It sounds good. KD0CD2.
Great, and I really understood everything Kathy said and with all the questions.
KC2RMO with a quick comment, please.
Okay, first let's take Lyman. I think, did you have a question, Lyman? We'll do that first, please.
Sorry, Kathy was, she was reading the questions, and they were really, really, I got them, and that was like a lot of questions that I would get on this session so far.
Okay, Gary, I guess that was you next. You want to come up, KC2RM0?
Hey, thank you very much. I just wanted to throw in a little something here anyway. I was just wondering if the instructors, for the benefit of the folks that are learning this for the very first time, if we could just kind of explain what those basic building blocks are, what actually is resistance, what actually is current, what actually is capacitance, maybe for the folks that just aren't all that familiar with those terms, you know, just kind of give it a little bit of a more real image in their minds. It might kind of help things out. Just thought I'd ask for that. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
That was good, Gary. Maybe Gordon would want to relate the electricity to a water flow out of a garden hose. Maybe it'd be good for Lyman and Stephanie and whoever else. So do you want to do that, Gordon, at this point? Up to you. Over.
Well, I think I'm going to hold on that. But we'll cover all of that, Gary, before the class is completed. I think that's an excellent idea. And while I have you, Gary, let me ask you this. Is Skype Joe Toad tonight? You comfortable? Over.
Well, we are just as fine as can be, sir.
Okay. Boy, your audio sounded real great tonight. You on that broadcast mic or what?
Yeah, it's my broadcast droid. I'm just using the phone, that's all.
Well, I'll tell you what, sounds like downtown CBS. Just great. All right, we're going to move it on here, guys and gals. We're in T5 Delta, and this is Ohm's Law, Formulas, and Usage. Again, a main building block, something that you should try to get your arms around and understand, and it's not difficult at all if you just give it just a little time to understand it. This will tell you what's happening in your radio and how it's working and what it is doing. So the first question in this group, and I'm not going to bother you with all of the alpha through delta answers. I'm just going to give you the one that is correct, and then I'll try and explain why. T5 delta 01, T5 D01, reads, what formula is used to calculate current in a circuit? And they give you five answers here, but there's only one that is correct. And the correct answer, as displayed, is B as in Bravo. And it reads, current I equals voltage E divided by resistance R. You will learn to take all of that verbiage out of there, and you'll memorize that formula as I equals E divided by R. Okay, now I'm not going to ask for any questions here at the moment. I'm going to go on to the second one because they all parley together. T5 delta 02, T5 D02 reads, what formula is used to calculate voltage in a circuit? And the proper answer of the group that they give you here is A as in alpha, and it says voltage E equals current I multiplied by resistance R. You will quickly learn to forget about all that verbiage and simply say, if you're thinking about voltage and you know voltage is E, then it's E equals I multiplied by R. And I'll try to explain this in just a little bit. Let me buy a nickel, please. The last question in this group reads, Tango 5 Delta 03, T5 D03. What formula is used to calculate resistance in a circuit? Now, if you go back a little bit, we were talking current first, we were talking voltage second, and we're now talking resistance. These are the three main ingredients in calculating what's happening. So what formula is used to calculate resistance in a circuit? And the proper answer is B. It reads, resistance R equals voltage E divided by current I. And once again, you're going to learn this with dropping all of this extra verbiage. You'll know that R stands for resistance. So R equals E, which is voltage, divided by I, which is current. Now, I'm going to try and lead you once again to our website. Let me buy a nickel. On our website is an Ohm's Law chart. It's a circular display that gives you the equations necessary for calculating power on the left side and calculating voltage, current, and resistance on the right side. I suggest very strongly, as Kathy did earlier in the program, that you copy, download this particular page, print it, hang it up on your wall, because you're going to find that it won't take you very long at all to become very comfortable with its contents. It's very straightforward, tiny bit of memorization involved. But it'll take you from here to there in a heartbeat. Any questions on this, please? KY6V.
Victor Hotel.
It says, never mind. But that really, I really know that question because I've been studying and I know that. So that really helps me. Thank you. And you did a great job explaining.
Well, thank you, Lyman. Such a pleasure to have you here on the course. You're staying right with it. Steve, Mr. Louisiana, good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, Gordon. Continuing with the pie charts, I was taught to draw the pie charts like they are presented. But the way you use them, at least I was taught, is you put your thumb over what you're looking for. So if you put your thumb over the E, then it's I times R. If you put your thumb over the I, it's E over R. you put your thumb over the R, it's E over I. So if you draw them exactly this way, and as a matter of fact, when I took my first test, I actually, the very first thing when I sat down was I drew these two circles on the scratch paper, and then put my thumb over whichever answer that I needed. KF5VH, back to you.
Interesting. I have never have really heard of that particular aspect, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Of course, I got big fingers. Put my thumb over one, I'll probably cover up the rest of them. Hey, thanks for that, Steve. Any other questions or comments on Ohm's Law, please? Over.
Yes, yeah, CDQ here. Yes, especially for Lyman, also for Stephanie. I would download some of the good information we have on the South Coast listing there, especially the pie chart and what we also call the EIR, E-I-R chart. They're both up there on the same sheet of paper. And yes, I do the same kind of thing with the finger bit or whatever it takes. But on the pie chart, especially for Lyman, because you're starting out right at the beginning, if you copy those charts and maybe stick them up on the wall in your room so you're always looking at the P over IE chart, which is a big wheel, and the other wheel would be E over IR, and look at the explanation that's below it on the charts that are on the South Coast website, and get used to seeing those. You'll be seeing pi, and at EIR, we pronounce it ear, even though it's not spelled right. And you get that in your head, especially for the test. That's very true. That can be very helpful to you. Yeah. It's just a few letters. It's three letters, but we keep mixing them up, or four letters, actually. We keep mixing them up. So that's where it gets interesting. But, yeah, copy those. Keep it in your room. Actually, sometimes at school you can even carry it in your notebook if you want to. Somewhere when you got a bored moment or lunchroom or something, you can get a look at that pi and that EIR chart and go over it in your head so you remember the combinations. Those combinations aren't that difficult. They just seem difficult, but not once you get into them, especially for Lyman. Over, any other comments? Please, go ahead now. Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't know who I heard. It might have been Gary, but whoever it is, go ahead, please.
It was N4UJO, but I yield to Lyman. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to go back and forth saying, you first. Well, I'll just go. Well, my mom printed out everything, and she's got, well, not just my mom, I did too, and I put it all on my chalkboard so I see it every time I wake up and go to sleep.
Very good, Lyman. And also, for next week, for next Sunday and Tuesday, there's some information more on the South Coast information that you can download. There's a common schematic symbols used in circuit diagrams. That is a real fine sheet. It's available on the Internet, but we have it right there on SCARS, right there on the website. But that common schematic of symbols, I would download that. Might have a copy of that handy. It looks like a bunch of jigsaw puzzle stuff, but it's very interesting because anytime you look at any kind of a blueprint or a layout of a radio, what's inside of a radio, you look at a diagram, they're going to use the symbols that are on that one sheet of paper. So with that one sheet of paper in hand and looking at a diagram of a radio or any kind of electrical circuit, you can identify what the objects are, and then from there figure, well, what does an inductor do? What does a capacitor? What does a resistor do? But the symbols are there, and it's so cool, and it's right on the website. So you do want to think of downloading the common schematic symbols used in circuit diagrams also. Put it up on your blackboard if you want, but it's a big, it's one sheet, just 8x11, but Lord, is it loaded. Back to anyone else that has a comment. It's KD0CDQ.
N4UJL.
Go right ahead.
I wanted to mention that Lyman's been taking this class with his iPad from camp, so perhaps he'll recruit some more hams for us while he's at it. And when I'm key here, I'm going to close Skype and switch over to EchoLink, but just to let Lyman know I'm not gone. Thank you.
And for students for next Sunday and Tuesday, you will want to look out and maybe download, I would download them, the graphic diagrams. On the technician test a few years ago, they started giving a diagram and they ask you questions about the diagrams. It's been on the general and the extra class for a long time, but they put it on the technician class a few years ago. And those diagrams are good because you're actually looking at schematics of a, they call them figures, actually the Echo 7s figures, And I would at least have those in front of you, because I know that next week when I cover one of the questions I cover will be right off of the diagram. I think it's figure E7-1, but I'm just thinking top of my head. But so you will have to look at your diagrams for the answer. They're not difficult. And if you wanted to, you could look at those diagrams and memorize them. Now, when you're taking the test, once you sit for the test, once you sit down, they give you the test booklet, they give you some scrap paper, and you have a pencil handy. Just like Gary said, the first thing I would do when they give you all that information, you're sitting down, ready to start, I would draw the pie chart and the ear chart, the EIR chart. I would draw those on a piece of paper, because sometimes we go brain dead when you're taking a test. You get a little foggy and you get kind of nervous. So right up front, if you would put two wagon wheels, two circles, and put the pie chart on there so you don't forget, that would be a dandy idea. And that's legal. Once they give you the test questions and they give you the scrap paper and they tell you you can start now, you can put a diagram on that piece of paper. And I would do so. I would do that diagram so that I don't go brain dead, you know, right when they ask me a question. Oh, well, how does that go again? So I would recommend that you put that on a piece of paper once they let you go and I say you can start now. You can't bring it with you. It can't be written on your arm or anything, you understand? You have to draw it on the scrap paper once you get started. But I would highly recommend that. Anyone else have a comment about hints to do when you sit down for the test besides taking a deep breath and getting relaxed? Anyone else have a comment?
Six, Victor.
Please go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, don't forget to bring $15. You know, as we conclude this course tonight, Mike, we are 50% completed through the course. And this might be the time. We're only 39 minutes into the hour at the moment to ask Lyman, ask Stephanie, and ask Jim how they feel about the course so far. Do they have any recommendations that would help us present this a little bit better? And also encourage all of our classmates that this is now the time. If they have been doing their homework, if they have indeed been going through all of the questions that have been assigned for each of the classes that have been presented, it is the time to start your trial testing. And we recommend going to QRZ, but there's a lot out there that you could go to. But we have, through the years, recommended www.qrz.com for the testing procedure. So maybe a little interrogation might be in order, Mr. Master of Ceremonies. Over.
Yes, very good. Anything you can do to practice. What gets to be kind of fun, and I call it fun, is, you know, you're all scared sitting down to take the test, and you can feel yourself sweating a little bit, you know, and they give you the stuff in front of you. What's really neat is when they lay that test in front of you, you're looking at the first page, it has maybe four or five questions on the first page. You look at the questions and you know the answer. You will know the answer. It'll be pretty cool. You'll look at the question, but be cautious that you don't throw yourself off. But when you look at the question, you will probably know the answer. You read the multiples that they give you and you'll find it right there. And it's kind of scary because our brains know more than we do. We are not sure of our knowledge. We're kind of scared. But the brain knows. So the first answer that looks correct to you, you know, read the question, all four optional answers, but the one that looks best to you, don't doubt yourself. Don't change answers. Rarely do you have to change an answer. Sometimes you might do something silly and put a C instead of a D or something. You say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Something silly. But the brain knows the answer to the question. If you've gone over the questions, you've studied properly, you'll know the answer. So trust your brain, even if you don't trust yourself. Does that help? Does that make sense? KD0CDQ.
Sierra United November.
Yes, Kathy, being a classroom teacher, you sure can help with this stuff. Go right ahead, Kathy.
Well, first of all, Mike, I think we'd like to hear from the students to see how they're doing. Like Gordon said, how are the instructors doing? How are they doing? Are they to the point that they're ready to start taking these tests? But I will give some suggestions in my experience. When I went in to take each and every one of my tests, I was confident. I didn't need any scratch paper. I knew the answers. As you look through those practice tests, like Gordon and I are suggesting that you begin to take, you'll see those same questions may not be in the order that you sort of the alpha designated, but it's the same question. But I want to give just a piece of information out there to the students and on how I did it, Mike, if that's okay. And I'll pause here just for a moment. But I'm going to give some advice, and hopefully it will help. All right, Lyman, Stephanie, and Jim, you don't need to take the tests. But what I found in each and every one of the tests, I am now an extra, but through the technician and the general and the extra, at the point that we are right now, 50%, I went into QRZ. I started taking those tests. I believe there's 10 questions. I think there's 100 different tests. I started taking those tests, and let's say the first one I got a 70 on, I wasn't happy with that, so I went back and took it again. I got 100 on it, so I knew I was ready to head on to the next one. I did this all the way through the 100 tests, and I think it was actually the extra. I went back over them because I was waiting to take my tests. But we encourage you right now to get in and start taking those tests. But remember, if you don't like that score, the 60, 70, or 80, go back and go back over those questions. But the instructors have given you some great information here, but it's probably up to you to study it and to go into those tests. But Mike, I'd like you to throw it out to both Stephanie and Lyman and Jim and see what their thoughts are on how it's been presented and where they are at this point. Have they started taking some of those tests? So I'm going to throw it back to you, Mr. Kansas, and let's hear from those students.
Very good, Kathy. Let's do Stephanie first. We'll do ladies first. What comments have you, and how are you progressing with this? Please go now.
Hi, this is Stephanie. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, Stephanie.
This is going super duper. I have not started studying anything yet, but I'm planning on it this weekend to put aside a couple hours to go over the questions and start on the tests.
As you know, I know, Stephanie, you've taken a lot of tests through your lifetime. This may be mainly for Lyman, but you want to have a system when you answer a question, either you check it off on the question sheet. You want to watch, you don't skip a question and throw your answer booklet or answer sheet off. So make sure that as you answer a question, whatever works for you, put some kind of a mark that you've finished that question. You finished that question, one, two, three, four, you know, as you go through. And if you have one at the dilly, you have one that you can't figure out what the answer to that one is, put some kind of a mark that you know you've got to come back to that question, that there's a question you have to go back to. We'll go over this again at the end when we get all done with all the questions. We'll do the same kind of reminders to you. But I find it's a good thing if you run into a question, even in school especially, when you have a question that you can't pull the answer out of your brain, put a mark on your paper and keep on going and answer the others. And a funny thing, computers were made by men. Computers work just like our brain. They sometimes are slow. Not so much for you, Lyman, but for us older fellas. It's a little slow. And you may be two or three questions down the line, and all of a sudden your brain pops out the answer to that question that you skipped. You'll find that. I'm not kidding. That really does happen. It happens with schoolwork if you let your brain do the walking, that the answer will come. Maybe a little slower, but wait for that answer. So, Lyman, what comments have you doing? Have you done any studying of questions, and how are you going along now, Lyman? Let us know how you're doing, and any comments you might have. Go now.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been studying, like, every... Well, first I study one day, then I study a little bit the next day, and do a rest the next day, and I'm really excited just to sit down and get on my papers and actually listen and answer myself the own questions, and the instructors are amazing. They're really great, and I've been doing great, and this class is awesome, and I think I'll ace the test.
Lemon, I think you'll do just fine. Jim, what comments have you, and have you started studying the questions? Have you tried anything on www.qrz or anywhere yet? Over to you.
Okay, I think I've got it keyed here. And just first off, I just want to thank you all for your work, your volunteer. Never hear it enough. Thank you so much. And I have started off with Lyman asking each other the questions. I like the interaction between two people testing. But he went off to camp, and now I'm hoping he's teaching a whole bunch of other new hams how to get started. I think y'all are doing an excellent job. I have no suggestions to make it any better. If it was any better, it would hurt. And hopefully I am going to take a test in the future when Lyman does for the next grade up. I'm working on it, and that's all I've got in 4UJL.
Well, Jim, you've done excellent already pulling Lyman into this, getting him excited and getting him started on this. You've done extremely well. No one can ask more than for a mentor, somebody to take somebody under their wing and work alongside. It's such a helpful thing that you're doing. The test isn't the scary part. The scary part is getting in that room and getting started. Well, once you sit down and take the test, I think it'll just flow for all of you. So the test will just flow. But just make sure you study it. And I would do those QRZ tests online. And if I'm thinking right, you have an option of the question, do you want the answer? You know, with each one, if you don't put the right answer down, it'll stop. And then you have to fish around and find the right answer. For some of us, that works best that way. For some of us, it's best to finish the whole test and then go back and do it. Whatever works for you. I like the idea of when I answer a question, if it's not accurate, it'll just freeze up there. And then, I think it goes to red or something. It shows I got the wrong answer. So you can look at the other three and figure out which one is right. But whatever works for you, go over those tests, and it'll become second nature to you. Okay? Okay, anyone else have any comments? I don't want to monopolize this. I'm just trying to give out help if I can. Anyone else have a comment? Please go now. It's 51 minutes after the hour. We still got time. Go ahead. Now, on Sunday evening, which would be August, was August the, what are we looking at, the 3rd and the 5th, I think. I'm not sure of my dates here, but we've got, 3rd and the 5th. I'm looking at next Sunday and next Tuesday. You're going to have Craig with you. WE2Q will be with us. He'll be doing the questions, and so will I, KD0CDQ, Mike here. So we will be, it'll be Craig and I next week. I'm looking up at the sheet. I don't see that he's there tonight. I know that he's very busy with what he does. But he will be, and I will be, Sunday night and Tuesday night. And I've got our questions are ready to go. And remember, you will need to look at the diagrams. What are they calling them? They're calling them graphic diagrams for element, I guess it's element 2, whatever it's called. But look at those diagrams, because I know I have one question, as I said, and I'm not sure if Craig, you may have one also. So get a chance to look at those charts. So we'll continue with this. And it's interesting because this is not the end of the road. This is the beginning of the road. Once you get past the technician and you get hold of a radio and you get on the air and do whatever it is that you like to do with ham radio, there's steps to go beyond. And it's not only the tests. It's the people that you'll meet. You'll meet in the ham community, you'll meet some other mentors. You'll find people with different talents. It's so interesting because you're meeting people from a different group, you know. It's all different ages and all different interests, all different kinds of people. And there's no end to it because there's thousands of us out there. What is it, 700,000 or something like, crazy number like that, we're out there. And you'll run into us in the strangest places. And some guys will be the strangest people. But we all have fun with ham radio. There's so many facets. Anyone else have a comment? Please go now. It's KD0CDQ.
6, Victor.
Yes, go ahead, Gordon, with some pearls of wisdom.
Well, I don't know about the pearls, Mike, but thank you. KY6V here. You know, I don't want to belabor the new entry on our website. But I think it's very important for Lyman and Stephanie, and it was Stephanie's idea, for this glossary that we put on there. It was just added here within the last day or two. And it answers the question of what some of our words that we use in this hobby mean. Such as, what does SSB stand for? What does SWR stand for? What does AM mean? What does FM mean? So on and so forth. I would recommend for the new students that are coming aboard for the first time in this hobby to look through that and maybe make some sense out of it. Mike, KY6V, over.
Oh, yes, indeed, Gordon. I couldn't agree more. I have the 20 pages right here in front of me. And even though I've got the extra license, there's times I have to look back at things. You know, you forget what they're saying. Some things will stay with you, some things you'll lose. But yes, you want to keep a glossary handy. You don't have to buy anything because you can download it, just the cost of the piece of paper and the ink. And you can download those 20 pages if you'd like and make a little booklet, Lyman, make a little book for yourself. They're not going to change. The definitions will not change. So they'll always be the same. They may add something or other. But yeah, I would definitely, I'm looking at it right and just going through the pages. There's so many things in here. And that's a good way to learn and to have something to fall back on, because you will go a little brain dead sometimes. Somebody will say something to you and you'll say, you know, go back to your little list and see what that means. Okay. Anyone else have any comments? We're at 55 minutes after the hour. Anyone else would like to add anything here? I'm looking at my little sheet. I don't have any more notes here to say anything. Anybody have any comments? Please go now. Or remember to bring the $15, like Gordon says, and bring it in cash. You can use a check if you want, but and don't expect change, because they will have a change box. But to make it simple, if it's $15 or $14, whatever they charge, try to bring the exact amount with you in cash so you can just hand it over to them so they don't have to be working change. And it's a nice system. The VEs are good people. They're hams just like the rest of us. The VEs will take your answer sheet and they'll work on it right there while you're sitting there, and they'll come back to you with your results. It's pretty nice. It's nice and friendly. Nice and friendly and cozy. There's no fears in that room. There's nobody there that's out to get you. Everybody's out to help you. Okay? VEs are our friends. Anyone else have a comment? KD0CBQ.
VH.
Yes, go ahead, please, with your comment.
Thank you, Mike. I was going to first mention that it may not be $15 at every location. I believe each VE group can set their own dollar amount. The other thing is, if you're required to have any other documentation, make sure that you have a copy of it, because you may arrive and there may not be a copy machine to make a copy of whatever you might need to provide them. So look at what's necessary before you go and carry two of them with you. Carry an extra pencil with you. Carry your calculator with you, like any other test, KF5VH.
Yes, because here it's $14. I don't know why it's that odd amount. But yes, and I don't, Lyman, I guess a school ID might work for you. I know we usually show our driver's license for identification, and I think that they do prefer that you have a photocopy of it. I'm trying to think back. It's been a while. I'm sorry. But I think you should have a photocopy of your driver's license, and if you're using a student ID, I would use a photocopy of that. What you can contact the VEs and find out in your area what they require. It's just something so they can know it's you. I'm thinking school ID. I don't know what else. They don't need a birth certificate, I don't think. But just ask them in your area what they're asking for. That's the best way to put it. Everybody's friendly. Everybody will help you. But there are basic requirements. Identification, bring three pencils, say, and bring a calculator with you, and bring the cash in the denominations that they need. If you want to bring a check, I guess they'll take a check too. But it's not difficult. Anyone else have a comment? 58 minutes after the hour.
N4UJL, I'll get that information for Lyman. Thank you.
Yes, very good. Now, on Sunday and Tuesday, see, I'm taking classes too. Next Sunday and Tuesday, we're having digital classes. We work, as I said before, we work with the 52 hospitals here in the Kansas City area, and we transmit information between the hospitals to mental health and wherever else. And we're having some more digital class training on Sunday, but I'll be done and be back here on time. And then on Tuesday, we're having a drill with health department. We'll actually be locking as many of the hospitals as we can in with the health department and transmitting things like blood types, beds available for emergency for adult and for children, and different things about the hospital. We'll be transmitting digitally back and forth to a central command. So that gets interesting, and it's fun. So if you with ham radio, there's so many different ways to go, so many different ways to have fun and stress yourself a little bit. You know, stress and stretch. Stress and stretch yourself a little bit. And that's the fun of ham radio. You can go away from it. You can come back. It's always waiting for you. Anybody else have a comment? We're at the top of the hour. This is KD0CDQ.
Six, Victor.
Go ahead, Six, Victor. And whenever you're ready, you can probably shut the recordings off. Go ahead, Gordon.
Well, Mike, you tell me when you're ready. Give me about 30 seconds. We've got about five machines going. Steve was nice enough to put an entry in the text box on Echolink about what you need to bring with you to the exam session. That is probably not available to our Skype members, so you might want to read it, or I can publish it in the next publication for the class. Over.
Yes, that was going to be my question. The people on Echolink can't see that. I will read what the website is, but it would be good, Gordon, if you put it up on the site so they can find that. Now, if you've got a pencil handy, I'm going to give you what the website is to get hold of what to bring to the exam. It's kind of simple. I've got a few dashes. It starts at www.arrl.org. And then it's got the slash, you know, the slash that goes in there. Someone else has put something on the site so it's covered up. So I got to find it again. Here it is. And it's the word WHAT, W-H-A-T, dash, T-O, dash, bring, B-R-I-N-G, dash, two, T-O, dash, A-N, dash, exam, E-X-A-M, dash session, S-E-S-S-I-O-N. So it's just, what's the bring to a session, is what it is, and that's just after the hash. But if you get on that ARRL site, there's quite a bit of information on there that's available to you. And if you ever decide to become a member, there's even more information available to you. So there's many ways of going. Matter of fact, I was trying to get on that site yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, and I couldn't get on, so I had to make a phone call to Connecticut to find out, hey, Oslos, what's up here? And somehow that my password, they wouldn't take my password, so I put the same password in, and it was fine after I talked to the little lady there in Connecticut. So they're very helpful to you, but don't get disgruntled. Sometimes ARRL has a little problems, but just hang in there. There's a lot of good information there. Anyone else have a comment? Please go now. I would, Gordon, if you want to turn off the recordings, if everybody would be quiet for a moment, Gordon will turn off the recordings. This is KD0CDQ.
There you go. I wasn't sure you're going to let loose of the rope. All right, I'll kill the recordings in just a second. Mike, Gary has taken it upon himself in an eloquent manner to post that information from Steve on the Skype text box. So everybody should have it as to what they should bring. All right, we are 4 minutes into the second hour. Give me about 30 seconds. I'll give you alert when I've got all recordings killed. KY6V, stand by, please.